Hey, all you right side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here, Alabama. And I mean, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. All right, so the very first dipper, presidential law. This matters. Who's going to be on the ballot? By the way, I did put a prediction on my Twitter feed. Thinking through some things we talked about on the show yesterday, partly with Scott Buttram during the Grand Council, partly when Lee from Huntsville called in, I decided to crystallize my thoughts. And I will tell you this, I put a prediction today, December 14th, 2023, and just before the show started, I put it on my Twitter feed that I predict that Biden will not be on the ballot. Pray tell, Phil, why do you say that? Because look at the press. Stories are being touted out there how, you know, Hunter Biden's legal woes are weighing upon the mind of the president. He personally feels guilt. Why? Because he believes that his presidency has caused undue scrutiny to his son, and they're using his son to get to him, and he thinks he's hurting his own family. You see where this is going? No. It's not just to build him as the doting father with a loving son, you know, as they move towards indictments and impeachments. I think it's to build the case that sometime in the next 30 to 60 days, you're going to see President Biden make an agreement to go ahead and step down. And it'll be because he feels like he's hurting his own son and family comes first. So he's got to go step back and let somebody else take the reins so that his family won't suffer unduly. We'll see. And then I also predict, too, by the way, they don't want Kamala. They don't. I predict what that'll happen then is Kamala is going to get offered her dream job working with the World Economic Forum or some other place where she can go quietly away and do meaningful things to impact culture. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom's on the ticket. Stand by. I think it's possible. And I made that prediction today on my Twitter feed. Now, that being said, there's a lot of legal woes that are true and really truly out there. And they are impacting things right now. Like, for instance, Trump is neck deep, by the way, neck deep. I mean, they're coming from all angles. They're in civil, they're in criminal, they're in state court, they're in federal court, they're all over. Got any special prosecutor appointed by the DOJ? All God's children got a piece of Trump legally right now. One of the biggest cases against him is the January 6th review by special prosecutor Jack Smith. So Smith is pursuing this in a hard way. And he's got the special prosecutorial status. He has carte blanche. He's independent. He can pursue things with the authority of the DOJ technically being separate from the DOJ. And then on top of that, though, a large part of what he's alleging against Trump are January 6th related issues involving the impediments or attempts to obstruct an official proceeding. Case right now, storyoffthehill.com, came out yesterday afternoon. Supreme Court is going to hear a challenge to January 6th obstruction charges. Separate from Trump's case, there are hundreds of January 6th rioters, not insurrectionists, by the way. It's a key difference. Rioters. Some of them did riot. Some were just there to watch. Some just happened to be in the area and thought they'd check it out. Others were walking around taking selfies in the rotunda. But, you know, hey, insurrection. But nonetheless, I'm appreciating the fact that thehill.com finally quit calling them insurrectionists, started calling them rioters, which some of them were. Supreme Court indicated Wednesday it will take up a challenge to an obstruction law used against scores of January 6th rioters and former President Trump. So Trump's not having to do this. There's a guy named Joseph Fisher. He's a former police officer. He's accused of being a January 6th rioter. And he petitioned the high court to eliminate one of the counts he faces, which is obstruction of an official proceeding. So basically, he's being charged with this use of a statute that has rarely ever been applied. It was never intended to be used this way. And it carries a maximum penalty of up to 20 years in prison. But Fisher, along with two other rioters, have said, that's not what the legislative intent for this law was. So let me explain this real quick. So legislative intent, you don't always gather it, but usually when I was passing a piece of legislation in Montgomery, because you do it on state or federal level, I would try to incorporate what is known as the legislative intent. I would say things like, whereas the legislature finds, and you know what's going on. You can also, by the way, as an attorney, when I'm reviewing the codes, if I see the code cited, I can also then look down in the notes within, you know, the annotated code, and I can sometimes find legislative intent. And legislative intent just basically tells you when the law was passed, here's what they were thinking. This is why they passed it.
Okay.
Because every once in a while, context becomes important. Every once in a while, later on, it feels a little gray. What did they mean by that? They meant this? I don't know. Go check and see. Well, by the way, they didn't mean what you're trying to say. So hundreds of rioters have already been convicted, y'all. Some have had to plead guilty under, you know, threat of long imprisonment of trying to impede an official proceeding. And yet, let's see, I've got this story right here from The Hill. Let me see what it says. Fisher's petition to the high court argues that hundreds of cases awaiting trial would benefit from the justices of the Supreme Court clarifying the statute, providing critical guidance to district courts and prosecutors and defense counsel. The law was enacted in 2002. And way back then, by the way, Biden, who was a senator at the time, referenced the subsection that's being used and said it was really just a crime about document shredding. I'll just be honest with you. I look at this and go, this is a reach, but this is what they've been doing. They got to find a way to punish people, got to find a way to make the conspiracy, got to find a way to build the case against Trump. So why not ruin some lives by misconstruing a statute? Same story here in the Daily Wire. In the Daily Wire, it says this particular case involves 18 U.S. Code 1512, an obstruction law that says whoever corruptly otherwise obstructs, influences, or impedes shall be fined under this title. However, Tom Caso, and I'm getting in the weeds, y'all, but bear with me here. Tom Caso, senior legal fellow at the Claremont Institute, he said the amazing thing is this statute they're using, the way they're portraying it, you got to wonder, why hasn't it ever been applied like this before? Because he said, think about it. How many Code Pink folks have tried to stand up and shout down a Supreme Court nomination or others who have protested at official proceedings and tried to interrupt those proceedings, and no one ever thought this statute applied then, but suddenly it does now? He said, it's kind of strange the statute's only just now been discovered. So here's the bottom line. I'll wrap this piece up. I'll just tell you, you've got to recognize that if they can take this thing up, these other guys, not Trump, if they've got to get to the Supreme Court, if they've got a chance to get this thing reviewed, and the Supreme Court says no, that was never the legislative intent, you're misconstruing the statute, then not only do hundreds of January Sixers suddenly find themselves with either reduced sentences or, for that matter, no sentences, suddenly half of Jack Smith's case against President Trump goes away. Ta-da! Just like that. All right, this is big doings. Last one before the break, I got to tell you. Part of Trump's legal woes, Jack Smith himself, in Trump's case, now the other ones were not Trump's case, but in Trump's case, Jack Smith himself has now appealed. Because Trump has alleged that he should be given presidential immunity for some of what's being sought. And he's like, you know, hey, you can make the allegations against me, but I had sovereign immunity as an executive, duly elected, and I was acting in my role as the executive, and how can you sue me for doing my job? Whether you like it or not doesn't mean I wasn't doing my job. So Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, appealed it. The appellate court, the first level appellate court in the feds, said they agree with Jack Smith. They have now appealed it to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is far more conservative. The question now becomes, What's going to happen with the Supreme Court? Will they take it up quickly? Because right now, Jack Smith's trial against Trump is scheduled for March. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't that right smack in the middle of the primaries? Yep, the day before Super Tuesday. How convenient. March the 4th, the day before the election, the major election of the primary? Yeah. But now the judge, the trial court judge, just said, you know what? I don't have jurisdiction to move these proceedings forward right now until the Supreme Court finishes whatever it's going to do. If the Supreme Court hands it back to me, then we'll take care of it. In the meantime, the entire case is on hold, which means it's going to be very difficult for them to screw with Trump for a trial during the primary unless the Supremes answer it very quickly. I don't think they can try this case in March. But there you have it. So right now, in terms of presidential law, two big things. One, Lawyer Phil is saying you've got half of the case against Trump and a ton of January Sixers could go away if the Supreme Court agrees that they've been abusing the statute, never intended to be what they're calling it. And secondly, Trump's on appeal. Is he allowed to have presidential immunity? Is he? If he is, well, we'll find out. But nonetheless, in the meantime, that case is stopped. It is stayed for the moment. And we'll just see where that goes. Presidential law. I'm going to take a break right now. We come back. I got more on this stuff. So I know I got in the weeds on that one, but man, this is good stuff. And I'm just telling you, when you look at the things that are happening, the nuances of it, like for instance, Hunter Biden, why did he stand on those steps and not those steps over there when he gave his press conference? Huh. Everything matters. I'll tell you about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Be right back. Questions and he left without doing his deposition. That's called contempt of Congress. You're under subpoena, dude. Listen, I can't tell you how many subpoenas I've sent out as an attorney, and we will work with you. I mean, I any number of times you've been subpoenaed to be here. It's a long distance. Can I be there at so-and-so time? Yeah, we can work with you. I can't do it this day because I'm sick. Can we do it the next day? Yeah, but the subpoena is still in force. You know, whatever. But subpoena is still, by the way, issued by an authority that has a binding aspect to it, right? You have to be there. He chose to blow it off. Just didn't do it. What he's demanding is he wants an open tribunal. He does not want to do a closed door under oath deposition. He wants to be out in the public square where Democrats get to have, you know, their 5 minutes of commentary instead of questioning him about why Biden's a wonderful creature. Anyway, what happened immediately thereafter was the House decided to move forward with contempt proceedings against him. So the very first thing we've got, before I even get into Biden's impeachment woes, is contempt of Congress proceedings, according to Breitbart. Contempt of Congress proceedings initiated against Hunter Biden, potential imprisonment and fine is there. So House Oversight Committee James Comer and Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan initiated contempt of Congress proceedings against Hunter Biden. If prosecuted and convicted, Hunter Biden's punishment could be up to a $100,000 fine and imprisonment. It points out depositions are a standard procedure. It also points out that the ranking member, the Democrat, Jamie Raskin, he had emphasized in the past the importance of standard closed-door depositions. Not now. Now it's different. Comer said, "We will not provide special treatment because his last name is Biden. As our committees were today prepared to depose Hunter Biden, he chose to make a public statement on Capitol Hill, instead where he said his father, Joe Biden, was also not financially involved in his family's business dealings," which is the other thing that happened. He sort of changed the tune. Suddenly, it's not a matter of whether or not Joe Biden knew about his son's business dealing or participated. He was not, quote, financially involved. Right. What the definition of is. Here's a little tidbit for you before we go to the break. The only place I've seen this reported is townhall.com. Town Hall has this piece about Hunter Biden showing up for his press conference, blowing off the legalities of his subpoena, risking contempt of Congress as a delay tactic, and then somebody pointed out, did you notice where he stood? It was a House subpoena, but he stood on the steps on the Senate side of the Capitol. The reporter points out the sergeant at arms for the House has no authority on the Senate side of the rotunda. He only has authority on the House side. Had Hunter Biden appeared on House territory, so to speak, he might have been subject to the jurisdiction of the sergeant at arms, who could have requested that he follow him to the room, and he would have been kind of stuck with it at that point. So it was so cagey, they even chose where they stood. I mean, I guess his attorney's getting paid the big bucks, but that's how in the weeds some of this stuff is. It's just amazing to me. Well, so all right, Hunter Biden, what happens next? Well, right next is going to be the fact that there's going to be this tussle over when's he going to show up for his deposition. Well, he's not going to do his deposition. Why is he not going to do a deposition? And then someone's going to slap him with a fine, and he's going to be in contempt. And then what's he going to do? Pay the fine? Probably not. And then at the same time, how does this bleed over into what's happening with President Biden? Well, a lot, actually. So yesterday, there was a major vote along party lines, but there was a major vote that dealt with Joe Biden. And y'all, I know there's, I'm restless about, okay, are we going to do something or not? Are we going to, well, of course, keep in mind, the Republicans have only had the House now for a year. And in that time, they've had to constitute their committees, deal with their own removal and replacement of their Speaker of the House, had several other things distracting them along the way. Oh, by the way, trying to fix the budget and do the other stuff they got to do just to keep the regular order of business. And then, at the same time, launch the investigations into Joe Biden. But I think they are wiring this thing tight, man. And I don't know what the final outcome is going to be, but there was a vote yesterday that catapulted it to the next level. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. And oh, by the way, don't forget, bottom of the hour, we're going to have Butters and Lee. So yeah, Lee from Huntsville joining us. We'll do our weekly segment. And it's Butters and Lee, 3:30. Stand by for that one. I'm finishing up number one of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling it presidential law because these are all legal matters that are affecting either presidential candidates or current presidents or their families or whatever. It is the biggest swirl of legal menagerie that I think I have ever seen. I'll be honest with you. I don't know about y'all. I am jaded with it, just to be honest. I was thinking this morning as I was prepping the show, I thought, God, wouldn't it be just nice? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have somebody in office who was just there doing a great job? Just maybe I don't even agree with everything they do, but it's like no controversy, or at least make it just like political controversy, like Democrats don't like what Republicans want to do. Can we ever get back to that day? I mean, granted, there would be less fodder for my show because this is indeed a target-rich environment for a conservative news talk show, I'll just be honest. But I look at it and think, my God, When will the madness, when will we stop having oversight committee hearings and impeachments and, you know, and going after the son or the daughter and all of it is just like, just why would anybody want to run for president right now? I mean, to me, in my opinion, the only way you want to run for president is if you're a billionaire like Trump and you can continue to hire the lawyers you need to get out of all the stuff they're going to sling at you. It's unreal. Unstinking believable. That being said, here we are. Well, so yesterday a thing happened that is way, way, way a step up. So you may recall that there have been impeachment efforts against Trump, and there has been an ongoing impeachment effort since Republicans took majority in the House against Biden. However, there's never been a vote on the floor for an impeachment proceeding, which is a bit unusual. It means the Speaker of the House just directed that it happen. It just means that the Speaker of the House just said, we're going to proceed down this road without the will of the body being spoken. Well, not yesterday. Yesterday, our new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he brought it to the floor. And in a pretty much a party line vote, 221 Republicans voted in favor of the inquiry and 212 Democrats voted against. The House has now voted to formally authorize an impeachment inquiry into President Biden. What that does, though, by the way, that gives greater authority to the committee chairman. They can compel interviews. They can obtain documents. They can get courts to enforce their requests and their actions. They have the authority to sort of reach into places they might not have gone otherwise. So a formal vote to proceed with an impeachment has now occurred, and that is, by the way, a turbocharge to the proceedings. So what you've been seeing before was what I would call, like, you know, good effort. What you're going to see now is what I would call good official undertakings with intent and purpose and a lot more behind them. So that just happened yesterday. New York Post has a piece on it. Pretty intense. And by the way, I see I got a phone call. I'll take it in 1 minute. But yeah, it says, as President Biden continues to stonewall lawful congressional subpoenas, today's vote of the full House of Representatives authorizing the inquiry puts us in the strongest position to enforce these subpoenas in court. That's the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. And then you look at it and you think, okay, so they now have the ability to go in and do deep dives into assessing why things like payments from China, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Ukraine, and Russia went to the Biden family and who benefited from it. Here's the last thing I'll say before I take the phone call. Jonathan Turley, who is just a great legal mind, he did a piece in the New York Post. He says, here's the three things you're going to continually hear in regards to Biden's legal woes that the Democrats are going to say over and over again. They already are. Number one, Joe Biden did not benefit from influence peddling. Certainly not. He was not the reason why the family had a business. It was because Hunter was so savvy and everyone internationally needed his efforts. That's all it was. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Here's the other one they're going to say. And I'm not going to go into all of Turley's, you know, analysis, but he says it's about Hunter Biden's addictions, not his actions. Yeah, he was misunderstood. He was having a hard time. You're picking on him for his recovery. Well, he spent $383,000 of Chinese and Ukrainian money on hookers. I mean, for the love. In 1 year. For the love. And the last one they're going to say is it's all about Hunter's truck. What does that mean? Well, some of these payments were marked loan repayment. Wink, wink, nod, nod. What they're saying is, well, Hunter bought a truck and his dad loaned him the money, so he had to repay it. Millions? What kind of truck was that thing? Anyway, I got a little bit more on this, but before I do that, I want to honor the fact that we got somebody on the line. Oh, yeah, is that Kareem? Kareem, line one. How you doing, buddy?
How you doing there, Phil?
I'm good, man. What's up?
As far as this Hunter Biden thing goes, I can't take Jim Jordan serious, especially with subpoenas, because he avoided one for the January 6th committee, and he still hasn't answered. And Jim Comer, him, is everything that he accused Biden of, he officially has done. But I'm trying to understand what's the difference between that, between what he's done and then. He gave his son money, his son paid him back. Same thing with Comer. He loaned his brother money, his brother paid him back. But all of a sudden, it's either Joe Biden is senile, or he's this great mastermind. You really got to make up your mind.
I think because I think he's a dude.
See it.
I think he's been duped. I think he was, hang on a second. I think he was not the criminal mastermind. I think he was just duped into, hey, Dad, make the phone call, wink, wink, and we'll help pay off your beach house in Rehoboth. That'd be great. That's what I think happened.
All I'm saying is that this, the Jim Comer and what's called coming after Hunter Biden, that's why I was so happy that he's actually fighting back and he gave him the finger yesterday. Because both of those guys is full-blown hypocrites, and the stuff that they say, they doing they self. And, like, don't you know anybody that pays attention can see you? We can hear you. We see the hypocrity in the whole situation.
Okay, but
so for them to keep pushing on it and pushing on it, it just make them look foolish.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the issue when you don't like the fact that Jim Jordan did not show up for testimony to a House subpoena on the January 6th so-called bipartisan commission. First of all, highly irregular for members of the body to subpoena one of their own. It was considered to be irregular by everybody, and it was bad form, and that was part of it. The second thing was everybody knew that Jim Jordan had nothing to do with it, and he was literally in the exercise of his own, you know, responsibilities, and they were trying to come after him because he was
the case, then he should have still came before them. But he refused.
But you know what?
He refused, and of course he's going to carry water for Trump.
But let me ask you this. What did they do about it?
They didn't do anything about it, but now
they didn't. That's exactly right.
They knew they had no teeth.
They had no teeth whatsoever.
At the same time, they're going to try to do this. I guarantee you, Hunter Biden will spend one day in jail.
Tell you right now, I filed a motion to quash a subpoena for a client in my law firm yesterday. You can file motions to quash. That's what you do. But just choosing not to show up is not what you do. When a valid subpoena has not otherwise been quashed or a pending motion to quash is in place, you just don't blow it off because then you're subjecting
yourself. I guess he's just following suit.
Well, what he could have done.
Jim Jordan just blew it off. But didn't he just blow it off too?
No, Jim Jordan didn't blow it off.
He blew it off.
Jim Jordan never should have been subpoenaed in the first place. All right, let me ask you a question. Before I go to the break, and I got to go to break in about 1 minute. Before I go to the break, do you feel comfortable with the money that came from China and from Kazakhstan and from Ukraine and from others into the Biden family? Are you comfortable with it? I'm asking
you. About as comfortable as the $2 billion going to Jared or all the patents going to Ivanka. They all do it. And as far as I'm concerned, there's nothing Joe Biden can do today that can amount to Donald Trump. Nothing.
Okay,
for the crimes that he pulled on this country that y'all don't want to hold him accountable.
So let me ask you this. So what you just said to me, though, is let's assume that the allegations against Trump are real. Let's assume they have merit. Then what you just said to me is because Trump did it, I'm okay with Biden doing it. That's what you just said.
No, what I'm saying is because y'all let Trump get away with it. No, what I'm saying is because you let Trump get away with it,
you just
it's hard
argued
to hold
to
anybody
me,
else accountable.
Brother, Kareem, you just argued to me that two wrongs make a right. That's what you just said. You just said,
if
Trump did it, then Biden ought to get to do it.
And the only reason why that happened now, because this is what it is now.
Come on.
This is what it is now. If you don't hold Trump accountable, I can't accept you to try to hold anybody else accountable.
You gotta have a standalone argument. You can't say what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
You can stand on anything if it's right, but you can't turn a wrong into a right.
What you like just did.
If you can't hold this man accountable for the things he did,
you just tried to turn
put forward.
Kareem, I'm on it, man. But what you just said was you just turned a wrong into a right. You said because of Trump, I think that Biden shouldn't be held accountable. That's basically what you just said.
No, I'm saying hold Biden accountable, but you also got to hold Trump accountable. Y'all failed to do that. The Republican Party failed to do that, and y'all still trying to put him back in the White House after what he pulled. So right now, y'all have no standing to accuse anybody else of anything.
Yeah, okay.
Until y'all hold that man accountable.
So basically, if so-and-so is a murderer, but so-and-so else over here shoots somebody, but so-and-so over there didn't get convicted, then we shouldn't convict anybody else. That's what you're telling me.
What I'm saying is hold Trump accountable for all of his crimes. Get rid of him, and then we can get back to normal holding everybody else accountable.
Okay, so in the meantime, wink, wink, nod, nod, Biden gets a pass, and that's just the way it works in your mind.
I have no choice but to give him a pass because y'all giving him a pass.
You're honest on that. I got to go to break.
You have no choice.
You know I love you, but you're wrong. All right, I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Wow, take me to a break. That is, you can't. You just can't. You can't. You can't come at me and say, well, I believe Trump's guilty, therefore Biden should be innocent. What does that even mean? All right. I got a little bit more because there's a couple things happening with ballot challenges that are part of presidential law. And then don't forget, bottom of the hour, Butters and Lee. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world, one soundbite at a time. So, by the way, I never mind somebody disagreeing with me. I like it when Kareem calls in. Some of y'all are sending text messages like, wow, but you know what? It's part of it. I just understand that I still own the microphone and I'll decide when the conversation ends, but... or the advertisers will, one or the other. All right, hey, wrapping this thing up, presidential law, a couple things you might need to know that are out there. So here's one of the other things that is being attempted. So as they're trying to create Trump the felon, because felons can't run for president, as they're trying to create Trump the pauper, as it makes it very difficult for him to maintain the life that he's lived and the sacrifices he would have to, you know, endure to give up his billions by being sued civilly and having his business torn apart, as he's, you know, trying to be, indicted for insurrection or inciting insurrection or having, you know, confidential or classified documents that he shouldn't have had, even though he's the only one in the world who has the authority to declassify him at will. All this to say, as they're trying to do all of this, and they're not very good at it, they're stumbling their way through trying to get one of them to stick. Just please, can we have one in Georgia? Maybe one in Florida? Can we get one, please, in the special prosecutor's hands? Can we do one in New York? Somebody get us a legal claim against Trump. We got to stop him. Here's the other one. I've told you before, multiple states now have legal actions trying to get him taken off the ballot. I mean, heck, why not? Shoot, everything else, why not? If we can't win over here, we'll win over there. That's their play. And so think about how close the election was the last two times around. 2016, Trump won by a narrow margin, but he won. 2020, call it what you will, but the reality was, even with what we believe to be the cheating and the indescribable improprieties, there was still a very close race. What happens if he's off the ballot in one state and there's no electoral votes to give him for that one state? What difference would it make? Well, it would mean a shoe-in for Biden on whatever number of electoral votes come out of that state. And they've got these going in multiple states right now. A couple of them have already been thrown out. I believe it's Wisconsin and Minnesota have already been thrown out. Cases right now that are active in Maine and Colorado. Colorado, the judge chose not to dismiss the case. In fact, the judge found that it had merit and should go forward. Oh, good. By the way, these claims, these challenges to his ballot access are being filed by a left-wing group called Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics. I actually wrote LOL on my notes. This one from the Federalist. Try to wrap your brain around this. The judge said that even though Trump had, quote, engaged in insurrection under its meaning in the 14th Amendment, she also ruled the insurrection law in question would not apply to the former president. But she didn't dismiss the case. I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. Says Trump's candidacy is allowed to continue for now after the case against him failed in the Denver District Court. However, the case was appealed to Colorado Supreme Court. And by the way, that's the thing. It was dismissed at the lower level. It is still going on the appeal level. Most likely going to be appealed all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Interesting. That's happening in Colorado. Colorado has a significant number of electoral votes. But then there's Maine. And by the way, both these stories came out in the last 2 days. That's Colorado. The Federalist had this one. Center Square has this one. Maine. Maine's top election official is considering three challenges to former President Donald Trump appearing on next year's presidential GOP primary ballot in that state. Secretary of State Shenna Bellows, who is a Democrat, has scheduled a public hearing on Friday to hear testimony from supporters and opponents of the ballot challenges. One challenge was filed by the former Portland, Maine mayor, Ethan Strimling, a Democrat, and two former state GOP lawmakers who argue that a rarely used clause of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution prevents Trump from... This is basically saying that he's involved in an insurrection. This is what they're claiming all the way around. The 14th Amendment says he cannot be involved in an insurrection. He has not been accused of insurrection in any court proceeding. He has not been convicted, certainly, of any insurrection. And yet, here we are. There are also two others that have challenged him, trying to bar him from the ballot. It's just nuts, y'all. It absolutely is nuts. And I'll just tell you, if he becomes the nominee and there's no other Republican on the ballot and one or two states have decided to take him on. By the way, Maine apparently does not have to go through anything other than a review by the Secretary of State, according to their state law, I would imagine. So I'm just telling you, presidential law, it matters. It matters a lot. And what's happening with presidential candidates and the president himself and presidential family members, it's crazy. There's your legal deep dive, presidential law all the way around. Coming up next, Butters and Lee. We'll see how that goes. I imagine it's going to be good. Y'all stand by. We'll be right back.